Isn't it wonderful to have fellowship like this? I said, isn't it wonderful to have fellowship like this? Right. Some folks realize how precious this is. I don't know how long, 14 years, 15 years. I'm an old man of being here at Bond. We've celebrated a lot of things together. But I've watched over the years, under the guidance of Brother Gabbard, Sister Gabbard, how that the Lord has taken a little church in Jackson County, Kentucky, raised it up and made it a national church. For the name of the Bond Church is known from coast to coast. And not known because of television, because of literature, because of tapes. Knowing just because God put His approval upon these people. What a fellowship. You say, well, I think God does that to every church. I think He does to those who deserve it. I really do. But I appreciate Brother and Sister Gabbard and their guidance, bringing the church under the auspice of the Holy Ghost this far. We are here rejoicing with them, being partakers of their blessing. Amen. Of their blessing and enjoying their hospitality. What a wonderful fellowship this is. Amen. And I need to say this. Brother John didn't say it. He don't mind if I say it. What he meant by I'm not limited here is that he gives me complete permission to preach what I feel like preaching. That's against anything I want to preach against and for anything I want to preach for. I like it that way. What a fellowship this is. The preachers don't understand that, do you? But what a fellowship this is. Amen. And to know that you are accepted for just what you are. I have marveled at our fellowship because there's no politics in it. In some things, we're complete opposites. Opposites. And in some things, we're so much alike that it's scary. You can tell we both like cooking. We don't fall out over that. We like it. Brent will get me here in a minute, so I'll know where I'm at. But I appreciate the Bond Church. I want to say that in case I never get back here again. Thank you for your fellowship. Your sisters have come a mighty long way. Your brothers have come a mighty long way. Amen. The reason I know is because I have watched and come along for the ride. What a ride. Oh, you're quiet. Brother Glenn warned me. He said, sing. Sing. Brother Glenn's always wanted me to take up singing. But I'd probably be a lot better off if I just listened to what he's trying to tell me. You wouldn't be no better for it, but I would probably, I'd probably be improved some. But I appreciate Brother Cox sharing always with Brother Cox is a moment that you cherish because he, like myself, not always going to be able to do what we're doing. I know I'm no fool. I know that there is going to be an end of my preaching. Death will do it. Infirmary may do it. The government may do it. So what I do, I must do quickly. And then you may do it. You may get to where you don't like holiness. Never happened, huh? We have in our holiness movement the greatest struggle that's ever went on in our movement. And it's over standards. Not doctrine. I know you're going to say, but we've always struggled with our doctrines. Not that much that we couldn't fellowship. But this crisis has brought us to a place where it is bringing our fellowship to a crisis. And it's all over whether to preach holiness or whether not to. Some camps you go to, they'd rather you not. Amen. Some pulpits that you walk into, they'll tell you, I'll take care of that. So, like I said, what a fellowship. Amen. Don't you enjoy being here? We just got back from Claremore. My two friends or three friends have come to be supportive. They come all the way out here just to be supportive. I like it.
Yeah. Yeah.
We've already got the ground rules down. If I can help them, I'm supposed to. And if I can't, something's wrong with me. Now, that's not boasting. They just love me that much that if I try, I'm sure I can. Because the Word of God will help all of us. All right, enough talk. Thank you, Brother John, for the invitation again to be here. I'm glad my wife is with me. And Sister Sutherland and myself would like to thank you very much, all of you that helped us to pray for our family. This year at our meeting, God paid us a visit. We were happy. The happiest moments of my life is when I see God on my family. And thank you. I'm not saying that we're out of where the trouble is, but it's definitely better than what it was. All right, chapter 17, the Gospel of Luke, verse 28, and also Genesis 19 and 14. And we're going to read those two places. So if you want to look, help yourself. And we're going to read first from Genesis 19 and 14. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. Luke chapter 17. Verse 28. If you'll pray for me, I would appreciate it. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down and take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed. The one shall be taken and the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken and the other left. Two men shall be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Raise your hands towards heaven and let's pray. Father, we come in the name of Jesus, oh Lord. We ask you to help us. We ask you to touch us. And if preaching pleases you, may my preaching be strong. May the acceptable thoughts of my heart and mind please you. And may I be yours, and I may do your will. Amen. It is a marvelous thing that God in His great wisdom and His divine ability did write for us this wonderful book that we call the Bible. What great truths we would have never fathomed if it hadn't have been for the Scripture. How ignorant we would be of God's ways if God hadn't moved upon holy men to take the time to write, that we may be thoroughly instructed and not be lost at the end of our life. He who pays no heed to the Scripture will self-destruct. For only the Bible is the safe guide from time into eternity. Since we cannot go back to Abraham's day and live there, I'm glad God made a way for Abraham to be brought forth into our day. And since we could not understand Lot in any other light, I'm glad that the Holy Ghost brought him forth, placed his life in this book so that we could be instructed by it. Who would have ever thought that in that brief chapter in the book of Genesis that Jesus would tell us, Remember, as though every one of us should be thoroughly acquainted with the story. Remember. No other warning, just that one word is enough to strike terror into any intelligent heart. Remember. We are not asked to remember things that are not important to us. We are asked to keep in memory that which will profit us. You see, there is just a whole commentary in that word remember Lot. Just remember Lot's wife. But before you get to the word wife, you must step over and into the life of Lot. For she would have never been remembered in the Scripture except for this man, Lot. I'd like to preach to you tonight how men lose hold. How men lose hold. Every one of us have some things that we value too much to lose. And those things that we value the most, we hold to most tenaciously. We try our uttermost to remember where we place them, where we put them, what we do with them, who sees them, who doesn't, what touches them, what doesn't touch them. Those that we value, we try to keep. That which is not valuable is expendable. We can live without it. But some things make for life. Those that make for life are far more valuable than the trinkets that we gather. For in this scripture, Jesus calls the things that are in a house stuff. As though it's really not valuable, his stuff. We all have a bunch of it, don't we? Stuff. Stuff that we know we can live without. If a fire devours it, we live on. But there's some things that if we lose, we will never get back. Never. Never. Lot was brought into the scripture for our age. I'm not very spiritual. I'm not like Brother John, and I wish I was more. The Lord don't talk to me like he does other men. I don't know whether it's me or what, but it just never was part of my ministry to get messages like that. But going down the road one day, all of a sudden, it just was impressed upon me very heavily that of all the men in the Bible, this man's life is an overlay of the day that I live in. Noah is a little different because he lived so close to judgment and he worked to save himself from judgment and his family. But this man, after the Lord impressed me and I looked at him, I said, I pastor this guy. I pastor this man. Just as the spirit of Elijah was passed on to Elisha and passed on to John the Baptist, somehow I think the Lord knew that this spirit would show up in the dangerous quality that it holds right at the greatest crisis in his church's life. For in this day that precedes the coming of the Son of God, Lot is resurrected. And Jesus said, remember Lot? Remember Lot's wife? What is it about this man? He was no adulterer. You've read his life, haven't you? He was no adulterer. In fact, I don't think he was a thief. I don't even believe he was a liar. I believe that, honestly, if you were to move into your neighborhood, you might say he was a bit industrious, but you wouldn't quarrel with him about his family life. He stayed with one woman when it was, in that day, acceptable to have more. He saw that his children married and didn't live a life of lasciviousness like his neighbor's kids did. For his neighbors practiced sodomy. They practiced homosexuality. They lived perverted lives. But Lot seemed to teach his daughters, if you're going to have a companion, you're going to marry them. So he ended up with sons-in-law. Somebody say amen. Look at Lot. Look at him for a moment. Just look at him and ask the question, how does he differ from me? He knew God. He knew about building altars. He knew about revelation. He knew about angels. But yet, he lost hold at a critical hour. To lose your grip when you should be gripping stronger is to lose things that you cannot get back. To come to this hour, to this moment, it was not a divine revelation until that evening. When the angels were discerned to be who they were, Lot was willing to protect them. That shows you that he was not acquainted with them. But he knew enough to know that these men needed shelter in the city that he lived. He knew enough to keep the holy separated from those men. Say amen.
His life was a life of decision making. The Bible gives us one scripture that is pertinent to our hour. He that will be rich shall pierce himself through with many sorrow. A warning to all of us. He that will be rich. He that will be rich. He will self-inflict a wound to his own soul by piercing himself through. And every piercing that hunger for riches does produces a sorrow. Pierce himself through with many sorrow. The story of Lot is well known to us. So well known that we get quiet like this because there's so many things Lot done that we have done. We have left an altar for a more permanent life. We have left the tent, our pilgrimage, for a settled position, even though it was in this world. We used to sing, "This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue." We don't sing it no more. You see, Lot made the decision that he would trade his tent. For Abraham must have told him. He told it to somebody. Because it's recorded in this book that he was a seeker after a city whose builder and maker is God, whose foundations God has laid in the eternal world. Amen. Lot must have heard Abraham talk about God, his vision, his hope, his fellowship, but yet Lot turned all of that down. And said, "I don't want a tent. I want a house. I don't want this wilderness. I want a city. I don't want to wait on God to prosper me. I want to show myself that I am capable. I am capable. I am capable of taking care of my own family." So Lot divided off from Abraham and went. As we know, he went to where the decision was that he could better himself. And if you just look at it without Sodom, Gomorrah, and the plains of the city, you would say Lot had really bettered himself. For the young man had came from a nobody to a somebody, to an inhabitant in a city who sat at a gate, who lived in a house. He had a wife. He had children. He had wealth. He had arrived. Finally, recognition. Finally, Abraham's shadow doesn't overshadow me. Finally, I am on my own. Finally, I am the voice for this house. All of that is well and good, sir, and I thank God that you have that opportunity. But remember, the Bible tells us that we too are pilgrims, and we too are strangers. And it seemed like when we were more transitory, we had more power with God. It seems that the deeper we stick our roots, the more shallow we become in our experience. And the more dependent we become upon our society, the less dependent we become upon God. And the more we become dependent upon self, then the more self-reliant we become, and the more humanistic we arrive until we almost excuse God and we say to Him, not verbally, but in our heart, Lord, if you don't, I will. Lot made every move he made without prayer. Sound familiar? I told you, I think I pastored this fellow or his kinfolk. Every move without prayer. Not one time did God tell him to do anything that he'd done, but he's prospering as he's going. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. He arrives, but he arrives without God. He arrives in a city that is cursed. He arrives in a neighborhood that stinks. He arrives. He arrives, and the Bible tells us that righteous Lot, heard the conversations or saw the lifestyle and the talk of those neighbors of his, and it vexed his righteous soul, but he did not move. He did not move. He did not retrace his steps. He did not apologize. He did not say, I'm sorry. He did not take Sister Lot away and her children. He stayed there because it was advantageous to Lot. I'm working more hours than I've ever worked. I've got more now than I've ever had. After a while, I'm going to go out and do something for God. What you're saying is that what Lot said, I'm not always going to be here. I'll make my escape from here. I'll go back one of these days. One of these days, I'll turn it around. One of these days, I'll get serious. One of these days, I'll go God-seeking. One of these days, I'll pour my heart out. One of these days, I know what I'm doing wrong. I know I'm staying too long. I know I'm not doing right. I know it's falling apart. I know it's not well with me. I know I don't have a church to go to. I know I don't have a book to read. I know I don't have a person to fellowship. But as soon as I get it together, I'll get out of here. Not a holiness church in miles. Not a holiness fellowship in miles. The only thing that you've got to show for where you're at is greenbacks. I know. Lot continued in Sodom until he could not get out. Now, the crisis comes. The night has darkened, the darkest night of Lot's life. No darker night can set in on a man than what set in on Lot that night. The tremendous responsibility to get his family out of Sodom now brings the weight of all of his choices on Lot's shoulder. The angel says to Lot, get what you've got out of here. Somebody say amen. Get what you've got out of here. What have you got in this city, Lot? Get it out of here. Are you hearing me? Get it out of here. And the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law? And thy sons and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. He looks at Lot and said, you bring them out of this place. It doesn't seem like a hard job, does it? I'd hope that I'd have enough influence on my son, on my daughter, that if I got up at the midnight hour, rushed to their house, and said, God just told me, you need to come with me. I hope that I would have enough influence on them that they wouldn't doubt my integrity. That they would get up and come and go with me. You see, Lot had lived before them. The only person that they had seen that had any connection with God or angels or another world was Lot. The only one that they know has any dealings at all with this Jehovah God is Lot. The only one that worships an invisible God is Lot. The only one that has any kinfolk who serves this invisible God is Lot. Lot in the middle of Sodom. Lot in the very suburbs of Gomorrah. Lot in the cities of the plain. The only man around that knows anything about God. And God comes to him that night and says, now, you bring them out. All of a sudden, his children are his responsibility. But God's going to do something miraculous and get my children, as it was in the days of Lot. You better look at it again. But God won't let my children, we had better look at it again. Oh, I've served God all of these years. He wouldn't do me that way. We had better look at it again. Even Abraham, the friend of God, could do no more than pray. The decision to get out was still the person who was in. He could pray God down to 10, but that 10 had to make up their mind to come out. If God come to your house tonight and knocked on your door, sir, and sent you on this merciful errand so that your children could be spared from impending judgment, would you have enough credibility to be believed? Lot's a story of a man in dead earnest, a man strangely enlightened from heaven, of a man sincerely desirous of helping others in the tremendous crisis which had come upon them. Lot wants to help. But absolutely powerless to do so. Oh, God, I pastor people like this. I preach to people like this who know the hour, who know the terrible consequences, and yet are absolutely powerless to lead anyone out of this mess. Oh, God. A man who had forfeited all respect by those who knew him best. It wasn't the homosexual. It wasn't the lesbian. It wasn't the storekeeper. It wasn't the man running the bar. He went first to his own children. He wasn't mocked by the inhabitants of the city. He was despised by them. But he was mocked by his own.
Oh,
He forfeited all respect by those who knew him best. Of a man whose shallowness was so well known to them that his most serious words passed them by unheeded. Come on. Believe me. I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't have come this late at night if what I'm telling you wasn't the absolute truth. Two angels are in my house right now. They're waiting on me to get back. They're waiting on me to bring you back. They're waiting on me. As soon as I come back. You see, the serious words of fire, brimstone, the serious words that they said, for we will destroy this place. We will destroy this place. We will destroy this place. That was not an idle word spoken by somebody flexing their mental attitude and their physical biceps. Here was two men who could carry out that threat. And they said, we will destroy this place. And Lot was told that before he left. And the Lord has sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out. He has the message of the hour. Oh God, he has the message of the hour. The night will not pass and the sun will not come up without action being taken by God on this promise of we will destroy it. The night will not come to another termination. This is it. There is but these hours between Lot and loss. Oh God. You see, here's the pathetic spectacle of a man with a message of life and death. But you know what disqualifies his message? You know what tears his message up? You know what takes his own message? You know what takes and makes them a laughing stock? You know what it takes to make him, why they mocked at him? You know why? You know why? It's his own reputation that disqualifies him from giving it. His own reputation that he had got in Sodom, sitting at the gate, shaking hands with sin every day and never leaving. Never leaving. He never left. Would you believe somebody? Oh, no. 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 You see, it is a pathetic spectacle. This man running from door to door as he runs through the city, knocking on the doors of those things that he can't afford to lose. Hear me! Let me in! Open the door! God, you've got to let me in. You've got to hear me. You hear that son-in-law inside? What do you want? God spoke to me. God spoke to you? Really? I've not heard you speak about him for a long time. I never heard you talk about God before. Which God? Seeing you have no preference, since you have made no altar, since you do not show us your worship, which God are you speaking of? Which God? And our children sit on the sidelines of our pathetic lives. And we have disqualified ourselves because we won't come out for holiness. And we won't back it. And when the preacher gets too close to us, we stub up. And we go home and we tell our children, nonsense. Utter nonsense. I wear a wedding band and I speak in tongues. Nonsense. I cut my hair and I talk in tongues. Nonsense. I wear my pants and I shout. Nonsense, I tell you. I watch television and I get anointed. But I remember when a preacher was confronted about his illicit stuff that he'd done in his church, and his confession was this. He said, every time that I do it, he said, I'm more anointed after doing it than I was before. One preacher was accosted because of his infidelity. And the woman asked him, said, how can you do that and get back in the pulpit? And he said, I just pray between there and the pulpit. And the difference, my friend, is whether people believe us or not. Whether they believe us or not. Whether they believe us or not does still hang on our integrity. Oh, stand by me, Lord. Lot's words were as burning as any man could speak them. Don't tell me I'm a daddy. If my daughter or my son's life depended upon me getting the message to them, don't you think I wouldn't be burning with the desire to get to them? If they were in a house physically on fire and I could get to them, I would go through the fire to try to get to my flesh. Anybody here not try? Would we all just say, ah, it's beyond control? No. There's not a one of us that if our child was in a burning house or a burning car, that we wouldn't endanger our own life. Sure, his words were burning. Sure, his heart was hot with the passion to get this message to them. He didn't want to lose them. He didn't want them to perish. He didn't want them to be destroyed. But you see, Lot had already destroyed them before this hour had ever come. Lot destroyed them by shallow living. Lot destroyed them by inconsistent living. Lot destroyed them because he wouldn't make a decision. Lot destroyed them because he wouldn't come out from among them. Lot destroyed his family. Before that night ever came, those children were dead. Dead to truth. Dead to God. Inconsistency is steadily eating like a cancer on every church that I know of. Inconsistent lives so out of a pattern. Just here, there, and yon. One day we're determined to get hot and catch on and do the will of God. The next day we would rather do anything than pray. And the day after that we may be outside passing tracks. And the day after that we may be at the picture show. I know what you're saying, but come on, preacher! Well, let me ask you. Since when have we started such a tolerant attitude towards sin except in our day? It's Some of you young ladies, look up here at this preacher. If some of you holiness girls that go to holiness church was to come in off of dates 30 years ago like you do now, your hair all messed up and everything, your own mama would have whipped you and put you to bed and not let you out of the house. Now you just come in and act like I had a good time. And you young boys, you listen to your pastor say none of this till you're at a certain age and you can't do it then. And you hear him in one ear, but you shake it out of the other. Nothing but inconsistency. Inconsistency is killing our power, killing our witness, and killing our children. Lot had a burning message. He had God's approval to preach it. He was God sent to deliver it, but failed as a preacher, failed as a witness, failed as a parent. He failed. All his precious wife knew about God was what Lot took time to tell her. She didn't believe in the severity of God because Lot had preached a goodwill, cheapism type salvation. This wasn't a separated life of Abraham, but he knew about it. Hello out there. He didn't want to live like Abraham, but he wanted Abraham's God. Abraham's God's blessing. Abraham's God's protection. But he didn't want to live like Abraham. So he taught his children an easyism. You don't need God, don't pray. You don't need God, don't build an altar. Don't need God, just go on. If you need him, then get serious.
don't seriously serve him every day. Just get serious when you get sick. Get serious when you need a job. Get serious when you need a blessing. But don't get serious any other time. Folks will think you're fanatic. Well, you're not going to help me preach, are you? Don't be fanatical about this. Let's not get fanatical about this. Now, come on. Calm down, children. It's not that bad. Don't listen to Brother Gabbard. He'll have you everyone drinking oil. God knows I don't need nothing like that in my home. Go listen to him. You'll start hearing voices. You'll start seeing things. You'll never get a boyfriend, honey, acting like that. Never get a boyfriend acting like that. What kind of girl would want to marry you? You go around doing stuff like that. Now, settle it down. Settle it down now. You can still go to church. Just don't go to them ball games on church nights. If you're there every church night, he won't get suspicious that you're over at the house watching movies. And while I'm on it, I want you to look at me. Look right at me. I want to tell you something. When you are one of those people who have one of those television and videos, and you allow your children to go get that movie and bring it back and watch it under your supervision, hello, Sister Lot. Hello, Brother Lot. Come on. You are losing hold. And it won't be long till you won't have a testimony or a witness or any power with your own children. Amen. Somebody out there has got a little bit of love left for me. Say amen. Is there a chance for revival in our day? Unless we escape back to the mountain and get out of this mess with our children. This Bible tells me to remember Lot, Lot's wife. It reminds me that I can lose my children even though I know God. This Bible reminds me I can lose everything that I hold dear and precious. I may get out of the city, but what I take out of that city will be such a mess. Incest followed him. The next thing you read of Lot, he's out of the city of Sodom and the homosexuals, but he is now involved in incest with his own daughters. And it is not Lot who sets it up, but his daughters. And I've asked the question, great God, where did those girls ever get a notion like that? If they could have their father's children, where was their thinking? Lot could bear a child by his daughter. He could have bore a child by a woman that he chose to marry. But the filthiness of Sodom, once injected into the very bloodstream of a family, you will never find purity in that home. There will all be the uprising of the ungodliness of hell itself. You may get them out of Sodom, but will you ever get Sodom out of them? You ask me why I preach so hard and why I do what I do. I'll tell you why. Unless I can get a hold of mom and dad, I'm going to lose the children. Unless I can get a hold of you
and tell you, you better get out of there while you can get them out. You'd better get out before Sodom gets so embedded in your children that you never get Sodom out of them. Get them out of Sodom. Some of us said, I'm going to get me a good job. I'm going to move to the city. You'd better ask first if God's there. You'd better find out first if God will let you. You'd better get down on your knees and pray about those decisions. Well, you may retire, but you may leave every one of your children in that city. You may leave them in a messed up home. You may leave them, amen, with a man that batters them and beats them. You may bring them into that situation innocent, but you may get them out perverted by the spirit of that city. I'm telling you, remember Lot's wife. Remember her. She got so tough. Those children, that she turned and took one last look at those precious children, and it cost her her life.
Scripture says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. The Bible says, fools mock sin. That son-in-law sealed his doom when at the message of Lot, he mocked. The ha, ha, ha of the mockery of that heart put Lot's daughter out of reach because she had married a fool. You say it don't matter who your daughter marries, who your son marries. Remember Lot. His daughter was out of his grasp because he had put him in the hand of a fool. A fool that would mock at God's judgment. A fool that would make light of God's impending judgment. A fool that thought that God would never destroy Sodom is a fool indeed.